and he just starts doing his own thing because emotions are flying high, elbows are being thrown. Being a big is tough. I think you could argue being a big in college is tougher than it is in the NBA, because the NBA is pretty free flowing. College, you can, there's no defensive 3 seconds. It's just a more physical game. So if you allow those negative emotions to, you know, come into play, if you're a player and you're not listening to the coach because you're completely checked out of the game because you want to get back out of the big that you're guarding or who's guarding you, which I think Mathis could get into that one-on-one game instead of focusing on the team. That's what he's talking about there. And I understand that. I get that. There were some plays where Jordan Pope would just get completely blown by Gillespie, Jacoby Gillespie. And that's where I'm like, that's the effort. That's the effort. There was a play where Jordan Pope just turned it over in the first half, and he was even with Gillespie when he turned it over. And somehow Gillespie beat him up the court and got a wide open layup, no foul or none, at least hacked the shit out of him to where he's flying in the stands and you send the message that none of that weak stuff is, you know, do it legally, go for the ball. You can still go for the ball and make it a collision where you're going to get a common foul instead of a flagrant, but show effort there. Don't turn it over and then allow a free lane for a layup, fast break on the other end. And then there's a play where Daylon Swain threw him the ball. It goes out of his hands, out of bounds. So Jordan Pope had a rough one last night. And Sean Miller, yeah, he's putting those guys on notice. Like, hey, I'm making a mistake by playing guys I shouldn't be playing. I need to just start playing guys straight off effort. Screw everything else. We're that bad. We are that bad of a team. I'm just going to play guys off of effort. I could care less what your skill level is. I just need you to try.
Yeah, this Major Payne says Miller's expecting what Vic Schaefer's getting out of his girls. And I'll say this about Vic. He came in, he inherited a team that didn't really fit what he wanted to do. But man, he got them to buy in. And they made it to the Elite Eight. They knocked off UCLA and top-seeded Maryland through sheer effort, playing like a 6-7 player rotation tops. And he got them to buy in, to playing his pressure defense, to doing the dirty work, taking charges, and doing the things that Vic has always demanded of his teams. And they weren't the prettiest, you know, not prettiest, but the game wasn't, it was a grind, but they would grind you defensively. They hung around, they were able to, you know, kind of get you out of your game. I mean, I thought that year was unbelievable. And then you know, players left and he brought in his players and he's been able to build this roster the way he wants it. And Sean Miller talked about that some last night too. You know, someone asked him, are you surprised you're having to talk about effort this far into the game? And he said that it was a chaotic, you know, he said, I became the head coach on March 28th. It was a very chaotic 8 to 10 weeks. In today's world, when you come in, you know, you have to make a lot of decisions and build a team in a hurry. So, Zay, that sounds to me like, let me get this thing figured out. And maybe next year, the team will look more like, you know, what I'm looking for. But how do you not have a point guard? Like, that's like not having a quarterback. I mean, the first position you got to have is a point guard. I mean, Vic says it all the time. He's like, I got Roy Harmon, I got Breonna Preston. I'm always looking to bring in, you know, hell, he had that year where Madison Booker had to play point guard because Rory got hurt before Breonna got here. And I don't know. is tough.
Yeah, and your point guard doesn't necessarily have to be a scorer, but it has to be able to control the game and just understand what everybody's strengths and weaknesses are. And sometimes that means for that point guard, as we saw with Gillespie last night, to score more. Sometimes it means to be more of a TJ Ford and distribute. Ori Harmon, she distributes most of the time, but when it's time to score, she can step her game up and do that for Texas. That's why she's so valuable, and Texas is undefeated and looking like a national championship contender on the women's side. That we talked about it, Chip, when he was saying all this stuff earlier in the season about Jordan Pope, and you and I were coming on the show saying, what is he talking about? Why is he like solidified Jordan Pope being the man at the point guard spot? That doesn't make much sense. And again, I don't want to bash Jordan Pope, but he didn't ask for this. Like, I'm sure he's confident in himself, but hey, dude, you're not that type of player. You're a decent off the bench player. If he came off the bench, he'd be solid. But to hand him the keys and put all that trust in him, he misevaluated that. Simple and plain. Like, he came in thinking that Jordan Pope could be that guy. Jordan Pope is not that guy. So, and Simeon Wiltshire, he's not that either, but I still think Simeon Wiltshire gives you more juice than Jordan Pope does. And for the rest of the year, I think that's the way to go. Jordan Pope can still play. I'm not saying don't play him, but if I'm Sean Miller, Simeon Wiltshire's getting way more minutes than Jordan Pope. Until I see Jordan Pope improve.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that. Any other thoughts on the game last night? The women will play tomorrow at home against Auburn. That should be a win.
Yeah, you know, the zone that Texas played, it was a little 2-3 matchup zone, which I knew it was a little all over the place. They, you know, they clearly gave up some easy baskets, gave up some alley-oops from it, but I would like to see that more, just because at least when you play against teams of size like a Tennessee, you got to be better at finding where Gillespie is. But overall, you're not very concerned about everybody else's three-point shooting ability. And in the SEC this year, like we said yesterday, it is not what we saw last season where everybody was good and everybody was loaded. Everyone in the SEC has flaws. If Vanderbilt is your best team in the SEC, this is a down year. Sorry, Vanderbilt. Kudos to what they're doing. But right now, they're undefeated. Kentucky's down. Florida isn't looking like the team that they were last year. They're going through some ups and downs. Calipari at Arkansas, he's kind of figuring some things out with his young guys, but they're still really young. So the games that they've lost, it's been a lot because of youth. A&M is playing well right now. They got a huge win at Auburn yesterday. So how good are they really? What I'm saying is teams have flaws. So at times playing the zone, I'd like to see more of that. I'd work on that. And it's weird because some coaches look at playing zone defense as beneath them, because there's always been a weird narrative on zone defense. You can't guard me, which is why you're playing zone. You can't guard us mano e mano. What are you hiding? Because you're playing the zone. Which, yeah, some of that's true, but also, if my zone's good and you're struggling to score on it, what does that say about you? So I think Sean Miller could look at that a little bit more. Because I like that zone. Just for I'm not saying play it the whole game. You're not Jim Boeheim. But just to switch things up and to hide, which Texas needs to hide things, like how small they are on the inside and at the four position. So sometimes playing the zone, even though you're going to give up more offensive rebounds, I don't think it's a bad thing. I think you're going to force teams who don't want to shoot and make them have to shoot. And hopefully you can force them to only one shot and switch the momentum. Because I did think last night that helped Texas come back. When they had that crew with Simeon Wiltshire and Kendall Weaver and Tremont Mark and Cam Heidi and Nick Cody and Traore, when they had those guys in at once and they were playing a little bit of that matchup zone, they got back in the game because Tennessee, they just struggled trying to figure out where to get the best shots in it.
So let me ask you this, because like Kendall Weaver, why can't he face guard guys like, you know, like Gillespie and Josh Hubbard and the kid from Arizona State who went off? Because Kendall Weaver, to me, seems like a guy who can defend. He's got that length. He's got that sort of Energizer Bunny endurance. Like, I'd be saying, Kendall Weaver, I want you to be the defensive player of the year. I want you to, you're going to take away the other team's best perimeter player.
Yeah.
And I'm not seeing that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's confusing. And especially the last two games, like go back to the Mississippi State game. The last play where Josh Hubbard hit the go-ahead three in overtime, they switched that pick and roll with Weaver and Traore. And either that's Sean Miller's fault for not recognizing what you're saying. Like, you stay on Hubbard, Kendall Weaver. I don't care if the screen's there. You go around it the best you can. We're going to push Traore up. So no matter what, Hubbard's not beating us. So did Sean Miller say that or did he not say that? We don't know. If he did say that, they just didn't do it, which goes back to the bus driver analogy. I'm telling you, don't cross that street. Get hit by the bus. I told him, what can I do? So I don't know. I don't know if he's telling Kendall Weaver to do that, because that is hard to do for a full 40 minutes, to face guard somebody, especially talented players like Gillespie and Hubbard. But like those guys, their coach, they're going to find them the ball. And, you know, just all that contact, the refs, they'll get involved, because that's just hard to do. There's a lot of contact involved when you're face guarding someone, because that person you're face guarding, the reason why you're doing that is because they're trying to get to the rock. So usually they give the offense the leverage there and it results in fouls where it forces you to back off a little bit. But I'm with you. At least try to do a little bit of that. And yeah,
I'm trying to think. Well, I remember Russell Westbrook face guarding AJ Abrams, you know, in that game out in against UCLA. But you know, they've done it. Not Sean yet. I haven't seen him just assign one player to face guard and just turn your back to the action. You just stay in the grill of that guy. And it just seems like, man, Texas has gotten burned by guys who've just gone off. And that's what we saw last night. It's what we saw from Josh Hubbard.
Yeah. That's what we saw from Odom at Arizona State.
Right. Like, right. Exact.
Exact. The point guards, man.
I would be like, okay, it's Kendall Weaver time. You're going face guard.
Yeah.
Because he'll do it. He'll give you everything he's got. And he's got length. He should be able to do that.
And that's what now is known with Texas. If you have any good ball handler, it doesn't even have to be a point guard. It could be anybody. It could be your three man. It could be your two. If they could come off an on-ball screen at the top of the key and Texas continues to play drop coverage, which means the defender who is guarding the man setting the screen is like backed off. So no matter however they get hit by the screen, whether the on-ball defender goes over or under, or ice is the man to force him back the other way and not hit the screen, whatever happens there, that second defender that's guarding the on-ball screener is waiting. So I can come off that screen clean. And if I have the green light from my coach, no matter if it's 2 feet beyond three-point line, oh, man, I'm going to let it fly. And Gillespie, I thought that was the game yesterday. He hit two huge just on-ball screens around the top of the key, back-to-back. And it's just like back-to-back, y'all. The first one wasn't good enough. The Josh Hubbard example, that wasn't good enough. Y'all just continue to allow this. Got hit by the bus. Told him. We told him. He got hit by the bus. We told him, coach. How many times can we keep telling them, coach? We got a dumb team. We got a dumb team. That's it. We got a dumb ball club. We are not a smart ball. No matter how hard we coach this team, they just don't get it. They just don't get it. That's what Sean Miller is telling us, man. Man, he's losing his mind. You should have saw. You see how he threw the towel after Trayvon Mark? He had a turnover right after a timeout. They came after a timeout. Most likely a coach draws up a play to run when you come out of the timeout. Trayvon Mark goes baseline. Somehow he gets stuck, runs right into the double team, turns it over. Sean Miller threw the hell out of his towel. The hell out of it. Like, yo, I can't take this no more. Like, it's...
Well...
Dumb ball club.
If you're just tuning in, it's been a day of more downs than ups in the football transfer portal so far today. In my mind, you did get the commitment last night from the Rutgers corner, and that's a beautiful thing. But Texas on the offensive line, Andrew Sprague, the Michigan right tackle, honorable mention, all Big Ten, 6'8". He is going to stay at Michigan. He took a visit to Texas, as did his fellow guard, who actually started at center in the Citrus Bowl, Jake Guarnera. And they're both staying at Michigan. So Kyle Whittingham did a good sales job on that.
Did they both play against Texas?
No, Sprague did not.
Okay.
Sprague did not. Now, he had I never could quite get from him. I think he was injured. I think he had an injury. Relik Brown. So last night, Texas gets the commitment from Bo Masco from Rutgers. And, you know, after or during, while we were on the air, I think Nate Kibble committed to Baylor. And then after we got off the air, Jake Guarnera withdrew his name from the transfer portal to stay at Michigan. Texas got the commitment from Rutgers cornerback Bo Masco, who has a relationship with Mark Orfeh, Texas's cornerbacks coach. And then Daniel Cruz, the, you know, backup center, is entering the transfer portal. And, you know, we have heard that Cade Phillips is good to go for next year. Grayson Littleton, Jonah Williams. But, you know, we reported last night Bo Barnes was still working out details. Same with Christian Clark. And then, of course, Derek Williams withdrawing his name from the portal and returning to Texas. That was good news. And Relik Brown, the Arizona State running back, is due to be starting his visit to Texas right around 5 o'clock. And Kansas safety Lyric Rawls is expected to take a visit to Texas. And Miami defensive lineman, Dante Simpson Jr., who's no longer obviously working out with the team, is on campus today for a visit. So, and then we got the news right before noon that Bo Barnes expected to enter the transfer portal. And that was one that had a lot of people saying, huh? Because that one's just tough. So,
I saw somebody throw out a number that they heard, like he's getting 800,000 and asking for more. I don't know if that's true or not, but yeah.
Yeah. I don't think that's it. I mean, I don't know what the number is. He got, what he got to come here as a freshman. And then, from what I understand, he was asked to take a cut, and because he didn't play this year. I mean, he played 43 snaps and 19 of them were in the Citrus Bowl, but he played well. And that one play, him closing from 15 yards out and just, getting on top of Bryce Underwood for that sack. I mean, we all saw it. It was like, wow, okay. That dude is 6'1", 244. He can run. He doesn't have any hesitation. Like as soon as he saw Underwood leave the pocket, that's his guy. He's the spy. I'm going to get him. And he went and got him. And he walked away from that game going, okay. There's some talent under here. There's some young talent that's been waiting for its turn, and now it's bubbling up. Bo Barnes, Wardell Mack, Kalik Lockett, Christian Clark. And you're like, okay, this is all looking good. But the reduction is where's the balance, based on, okay, you got a bunch of money, you didn't play. We're going to cut that back. So over the 2 years, if you think he's a $500,000 a year player, well, then it needs to balance out to that. You have to make a compelling argument that the kid's agent can take back to the client. Otherwise it looks like you're lowballing to run them off. Yeah. And so that was a, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Now again, recruiting, I'd say it all the time. It is a wild ride. It is going to twist you up one side, down the other. You're going to be like, what the, you're going to lose your mind. You have to wait until the whole process is over. And then even then you're not really going to know until that player is on the field or not. Like we said, how many players were hyped, and then it didn't work out, whether it was Jaden Ott in the portal last year, was seen as a big time get for Oklahoma. The kid ran for 68 yards, You can get all worked up and you can tell yourself the sky's falling and it's doom and gloom. But if Texas is doing the job of evaluating that they're supposed to do and they're finding hungry dogs out there, who cares about the hype and the stars? Because like I said, Cam Coleman is super talented, but there were other guys I thought Texas could have, made a case for and gotten, and look, wide receiver, you're pretty good at receiver. Cam Coleman to me is like a luxury item. Now it's a big, fancy, talented luxury item. Kid can play contested catches, big catch radius, all of it. But I'd be putting all that heart and soul and cash into the offensive line and linebacker, because that's where I'm looking at the roster right now, and I'm not seeing a lot.
Oh, I know.
Those are the positions that you absolutely have to fix, because they were a problem during the year. Not linebacker, but when you lose Anthony Hill, you lose Leonga Lafau. Ty Anthony Smith is a dog. He now becomes one of the most invaluable players on the team. Ty Anthony Smith is now, right now at this minute, one of the most invaluable players on the Texas roster. And he shows, I mean, my goodness, 2 forced fumbles, 2 interceptions, 5.5 tackles for loss, 2 sacks. And he wasn't even a starter. 50 tackles. He was the 5th leading tackler on the team. Ty Anthony Smith, great evaluation, great job, great recruiting. That's a guy that Will Muschamp can work with. The Bo Barnes thing is puzzling to me. I'll say it,
Yeah. In 9 days, man.
9 days.
9 days.
9 days left.
How do you like Trey Richardson, Vanderbilt?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's a, solid player. Don't break the bank, but, I think he's a good complimentary player. I've had so many people say, why don't you just go get DeAndre Moore back? And I think DeAndre Moore wants a chance to be a number one. Now,
yeah, what are you going to Ohio State for? Because that's not that can't be it, Chip. If you're going to Ohio State, you're wasting your time. If that's the case, if you want to be a wide receiver one, you should never have gone to Columbus. Because
he just wants to see what that's all about.
Okay, because that's not even. Let's know something about Jeremiah Smith. Whatever he's doing, because he got another year left, DeAndre Moore. So I get it. If you want to be a wide receiver one, but Ohio State, put an end to that real quick.
So DeAndre Moore is visiting. He's already visited Kentucky. He's visited Colorado. Colorado, I think, got a commitment from Danny Scudero. That catching machine from San Jose State.
No, he's a good player.
Yeah.
Did they get someone from Texas?
Colorado?
Mm-hmm.
Did they? But he's, DeAndre Moore, he's visited Ohio State, Louisville, Colorado, Kentucky. So, you see Cutter Bowley is going to Arizona State.
That's a good get.
The Kentucky quarterback.
That's a good get, Kenny Dillingham. That's an underrated get right there. Cutter Bowley got a little juice, man. In the Big 12, Cutter Bowley could do some things. Under Kenny Dillingham, Cutter Bowley could do some things. I like that. That's an underrated get.
Oski Sooner. Is Parker Livingstone a nice get for OU? Yeah, he's a redshirt freshman. He's got 3 years of eligibility. Parker's a grinder. He'll get better. I got nothing bad to say about Parker. Although he was a little disingenuous in the some things are out of my control. Because he wanted more money and he went and got it from OU. Good for him. Numbers 800,000. Good for him. Good for him.
What do you mean disingenuous?
Well, he's like, some things are out of my control.
Yeah. I need a new horse. I don't know what them country boys doing. Pops needs a new horse. Mom.
It's not like they ran him off. They just said, remember what Sark said at the Citrus Bowl? Hey, if you can get that number, go get it. And he went and got it.
Yeah.
That's That's totally in your control, Parker.
And then what he was asking for wasn't in his control. He asked for it, Sarkin, that were like, no. But Brent Venables going to give me that, so.
Yeah.
Nah, Rex, Boney got a little something, dog. Boney got a little something. That's the SEC. But at Arizona State, under Dillingham, nah, I saw it. He got a little something. It might not be consistent. It might not lead to a lot of wins, but Cutter Bowley helped get Pete Kwiatkowski fired. I know that. Yeah. Yeah.
All 13 of those points?
How it looked. It was a loud 13, I'll tell you that.
Hey, that defense won that game. You mean the Florida game and the last four?
Nah.
Except for, well.
No, nah, that Kentucky team, they shouldn't have been scoring on Texas at all. Come on now.
All right, let's get a couple mentions in here. Hey, 2026 is here. Let's start feeling better. Let's do it the human way. Human. Their award-winning science-based research for their supplements. I can't tell you. I've tried them all, and Human is the best. And I was so excited to try it once they said they were going to be partnering up with Texas, because the award-winning research, the science-backed formulas that Human uses were developed at the University of Texas Health Science Center. I'm going to show you each of the supplements that you're going to want to go to human.com/TSU and purchase the Cardiovascular Health Daily, the Metabolic Health Daily, and the Cholesterol Health Daily. And these are not just fish oil, you know, pills that you can get at Costco. These formulas are way more advanced. We're talking about formulas that are going to help regulate your blood sugar so that you don't develop adult onset diabetes. The Cholesterol Health Daily focuses on building your good cholesterol, not just negating the bad cholesterol. And, you know, the Cardiovascular Health Daily is going to help with your, you know, regulating blood pressure and helping with healthy blood flow. And that's important because as we get older, those are the things that slow down. Those are the things that break down. And Human is looking out for you in a way that no one else can. And that's what I love about it. And I love all the products. I mean, the Super Beats Heart Chews, these are a must because especially if you've ever had any kind of blood pressure situation, this is going to help you, you know, regulate your blood pressure 2 times more effectively than just diet and exercise. This is the beet based formula that is the number one recommended by cardiologists. And then the turmeric chews to help regulate inflammation, because that's where the pain comes from. You know, when you work out, get all of these. Go to human.com/TSU. Load up because you're going to get 20% off your first order. So load up because there's a 90-day money-back guarantee. You have nothing to lose, everything to gain. Your brain fog's going to go away. You're going to feel more bounce in your everyday life. And that's what it's all about. Go to human.com with 2 N's /TSU. Use the promo code TSU and you're going to be glad you did. And hey, Cover 3, great, great place to go hang out. Watch the, you know, watch the playoff games tomorrow night. Yeah. Miami and Ole Miss. But anytime is a great time to go hang out at Cover 3. Cover 3 Anderson, Cover 3 Round Rock. Great food, high-end food without the high-end prices. The Sean Adams Prime Rib Sandwich. If you haven't had one of those, make 2026 the year that you're going to get the Sean Adams Prime Rib Sandwich. It's fantastic. Don't forget about brunch on the weekends. And don't forget about, I mean, the brunch on the weekends, amazing. The breakfast quesadilla, the do-it-yourself Bloody Mary bar. Fantastic. You'll love it. And hey, audiovisual consultations. Our man, Tom McKay, 2026 might be the time you need to get yourself the big screen of your dreams. Tom and his crew have been doing it in Austin for 30 plus years. They are the pros. They're a huge supporter of Texas Sports Unfiltered. We love Tom because he wants to work with you. He's going to bring you the best price on big screens. And his crew is going to hang it like a masterpiece in a museum. No cords hanging out all over the place. You don't need to be punching holes in your drywall. Just call 255-8678 and let Tom and his crew bring everything to you. AVconsultations.com for the website. They also do, you know, surveillance, electronic shades, new lighting. So easy. Just call 255-8678 or visit AVconsultations.com. And if for my guys who are snoring, Sleep Cycle Center, right in Austin, two locations in Lakeway and the Arboretum, our man, Dr. Chad Denman, we got a great partnership with them because look, you go to sleepcyclecenters.com, tell them Texas Sports Unfiltered sent you. They're going to take $100 off your sleep study. That sleep study is going to tell you if you have sleep apnea, which is a lack of oxygen while you sleep, causes you to snore. There's even sleep apnea without snoring. I would just say for guys, if you know you snore, this is kind of a must because you're going to get a better night's sleep because Dr. Chad has the best treatment options, including oral appliances like I have, a mouth guard that holds my lower jaw open while I'm sleeping. I get that oxygen. My wife can tell when it's not in. That tells you everything. So take advantage of this great partnership. Get that $100 off your sleep study. Just go to sleepcyclecenters.com. Tell them Texas Sports Unfiltered sent you. Yeah. And the latest to hit the portal, Jordan Washington, tight end to the portal. This one is not as much of a surprise.
No,
not as much of a surprise. They love Nick Townsend. They are bringing in Michael Masunis to be a guy who can block and catch. Jordan Washington had some really good moments and some really tough moments. And I think this one's not as much of a surprise because I think they really like Amari Winston and Nick Townsend. I'm not sure what's in the plans for Spencer Shannon, but yeah. Your thoughts on that one, Zay?
No, I'm not surprising. Talked about it yesterday that the guys who we thought would be, I want to say on the chopping block, but we knew they liked Townsend. We know they like Winston. They just pick up Masunis. So after that, Spencer Shannon and Jordan Washington, what does that mean for them? And clearly Jordan Washington saw the writing on the wall and put his name in the transfer portal. So wish him best of luck, but yeah, not surprised one bit with the moves that Texas has made in the last few days at the tight end spot.
Yeah. All right. So for the chip shot, I'll just a couple things because I want to touch on the playoff, the college football playoff too, a little bit. But just, I know it's, you know, it's like the biblical. Okay. That's probably a little over the top. for Texas fans, you know, it feels like the book of Job right now. It feels like they're being tested. It feels like everything's being taken away. And it's not that. It's not that, because if you look at the roster that Texas has right now, there are, you know, it's a roster that can, that has the framework to contend for an SEC championship and possibly a national championship. You've got to fill some holes on the offensive line. You got to fill some holes at linebacker, but you're solid at defensive end. You're adding a big nose tackle in the interior defensive line. If that roster comes back right now, you're good in at defensive tackle. And that's a hugely important position. You like where you are at corner. You've got young talent coming up. You got Jelani McDonald running the show. And then, offensively, you've got to add a running back for sure, who's played. You've got talent coming in Derek Cooper, but Christian Clark, they're trying to figure it out right now. And at receiver, Emmett Mosley, Ryan Wingo, Khalik Lockett, Day-Day McCutcheon. So you need to add another receiver, most likely, if you want to have the, that alpha number one. You've added your tight end. You've got to make sure that the offensive line is fixed, and you've got to make sure that you've got some experience other than Ty-Anthony Smith, so that you're not totally relying on Tyler Atkinson. Now, I'm of the belief Tyler Atkinson is special. Like Derek Johnson told me, this guy picks up on stuff so fast that it's crazy how strong his football IQ is. So Tyler Atkinson, you just don't want to put it all on him. Maybe he wants it all. Maybe he's that alpha guy. And I think they'll put him in position to make plays. They won't overload him. But you'd like to have a little more experience there with Ty-Anthony Smith. So those are the things that need to be addressed. Obviously, if you're just tuning in, Andrew Sprague, the Michigan offensive lineman who came to Texas for a visit, has decided to stay at Michigan after meeting with Kyle Whittingham. So, that was a guy that Texas was very high on and was seen, possibly as a leader for Andrew Sprague, but he's going to stay at Michigan with Kyle Whittingham. So Kyle Whittingham, he's working to retain players. That was a good one. So it feels a little bit like the book of Job. Like things are being taken away. Things are being taken away. Things are being taken away. Am I going to get, enough water and bread to make it through? But you're going to take this ride. You got to take the whole ride and then assess. It's not looking great right now. I know everyone's wanting some good news, and we'll see. We'll see. I mean, look, after this, all the portal movement in and out and, Isaac Brown, Jaden Baugh. I mean, there's been a lot of one direction, another direction. And we're in a new age for sure. It all depends on who you talk to. So we talked about this some yesterday, Texas, I think Texas is trying to play by the cap, and I don't think a lot of other people are. So they've got to get that figured out.
Yeah.
And, that's a Chris Del Conte discussion. Mm.
Yeah, because I saw Tech got that, D lineman from Wake Forest.
Yeah.
It's really good. Mm.
Yep.
Mm.
I got Brennan Sorsby. And
they could have him.
Yeah, I'm not totally sure about that one, but and Dave Ashley brings up Joe Brunner. Joe Brunner's another, he's a 2-year starter at left guard for Wisconsin, who's I think Texas has interest in. And he would be a really nice addition. I mean, left guard, right guard. Texas needs not only starters, but depth. I mean, you've got Jaden Chapman, you've got Andre Kojo, and
yeah. What's your thought on Daniel Cruz leaving?
Yeah, I mean, I liked Daniel Cruz when he signed because he's got that low center of gravity. He's got that wide, what they call the NFL ass. You know, he's like a dump truck, which is what you need. And, you know, that's where your developmental stuff is. You're like, whoa, hey, hold on. You had all these developmental guys, Cruz, Kibble, you know, Neto, all these guys that have been in your program for, you know, 2, 3, 4 years, and now they're gone. And that now you're like totally dependent on the portal at a position where you had guys developing in your program. That's where it doesn't add up. And, you know, I tried to get Kyle Flood to talk about it at the Citrus Bowl. You only get one question. They take the microphone from you.
Yeah, they took that mic from your ass.
Yeah.
They do how you do.
I mean, that's a concern.
Yeah. After how bad you were this past year.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and Nick Brooks was still working at left guard at the Citrus Bowl. It's like, okay, well, wait. He's a big 6'7" guy with good size. You know, you brought him in as a tackle. What's the plan? We'll find out the plan. But yeah, Joe Brunner for sure is a guy you got to keep your eye on, especially now. And Rodney's killing me. You describing honeys or football players?
Football ass.
I thought, you know, I like Pete Golding. I want to throw this in there too, because Pete Golding did his press conference today with Mario Cristobal, he's like, you know, everyone's making a big deal about whether we got coaches to coach. And he's like, I walk in, everything's normal. He's like, we've had 9 analysts on offense who've been coaching these guys all year, who are still here, who know our system, who know, you know, he's like, our players don't sense anything different. So I appreciated that about Pete Golding saying, hey, no excuses. We're out here doing this.
Yeah.
He's a likable dude.
He is.
Isn't he?
He is. Yeah.
You know, he's had his ass chewed from Nick Saban to Lane Kiffin. He seems like a guy who's doesn't get flustered, doesn't get too high, doesn't get too low. We know Lane can be all over the place. And maybe the players are rallying around him. I'm fascinated by this game. I told you, I'm back and forth.
Yeah.
All over the place. I'm picking it. But I like, usually in games like this, when the talent is pretty close, you go with the team with the best quarterback. And I think that is Trinidad Chambliss over Carson Beck. So maybe I'm leaning a little bit Ole Miss here.
No, I get that. I get that. I like Pete Golden too, but there has to be a difference on the level that you're playing with the pressure of what you're playing at with the coaching. It's a difference. It's easy to say we got analysts that have been here the whole time. Okay. Those analysts coached in the semifinals of the college football playoff before. And I'm not saying all the coaches have that went off to with Lane Kiffin, but there's a reason why those guys are there with Lane, and the ones that are staying are the ones that are staying. So if I were to pick Miami, which still got time, we're making our pick tomorrow, I'd go with them because that coaching staff, Mario Cristobal, he ain't losing them games. Mario Cristobal, he ain't forcing Carson Beck. You talk about Carson Beck. Carson Beck doesn't have to do much. Give me a convert a first down on the 3rd and 10 once a game, Carson. That's what he did. Just give me a couple of big plays. Utilized his legs against Ohio State. Just that tempo with Ole Miss. That's what would scare you if you're a Miami fan. Because that tempo they can play with and allow Bain and Messidor to get tired. Ohio State, they weren't doing that. And I think it played into Miami's favor. So we'll see.
Yeah.
It's going to be good.
All right, let's get to the right call.
Let's get it. Before that, though, if you need a car, don't look any further except for Covert BK, the best in the business, Dan and the crew. Just exceptional. 100 years in the game. When you do anything for over 100 years, that's how you know you're elite at what you do. Whether it's a new or pre-owned car, they have exactly what you need. They have exactly what you want. The 2025 editions, they're prices are being cut a little bit. Y'all go check that out on covertbcave.com because they're getting ready for the 2026. And again, the cars, incredible. Buick, GMC, Cadillac, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram. We love our Buick Encore GX. It's absolutely amazing, and it fits our family. And they find the vehicle that fits your family, too. So, again, get over to covertbcave.com, see all the latest specials and inventory. Nobody beats a Covert deal. Not now, not ever. All right, Shep. Haven't had much pettiness for the right call these last few days. We've been talking a lot of Texas basketball, but we're back on the petty today. And this one, I'm all for this story here. So you know Philadelphia Eagles secondary player, cornerback Cooper DeJean, the Iowa Hawkeye alum. Big part of their championship team last year. Cooper DeJean does his thing, 22 years old. Well, he is dating one of the Bella twins, which they're WWE legends. He's dating Nikki Bella. She's 44. He's 22. Bam, that's them right there. Cooper DeJean. Bravo, dog. Bravo. You're a legend. Like, what? What? Nikki Bella. I love the Bella twins, man. They just elite. Elite at what they do. You know me, I love my wrestling. They are elite at what they do. Cooper DeJean, to bag this, bruh, you're on a whole nother level. You're on a whole nother level. Like, the game that you got, I mean, come on. Come on. 22 years old? Like, what were you doing at 22? Because it wasn't nothing like this. It wasn't nothing like this at 22.
How old is she?
42.
Damn.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, if I'm Nick Sirianni, I hope Cooper's locked in for the 49ers because a lot of folks would be distracted from this. You know what I'm saying? A lot of folks, especially a lot of 22-year-olds. So, Cooper, congrats, buddy. Congrats. Cooper. You're doing very well, dog. Super Bowl champ, year one. Like, life's good. Life's
Cooper,
good.
Cooper and the Cougar. Sounds like a reality show.
I think they've had a reality show before, to be honest. So look out for that in the future. Okay. So this happened a couple of days ago. Michigan State basketball, they were playing against USC at Michigan State. So where is that? Bagano, where is the East Lansing? East Lansing, that's right. So I don't know if you remember this dude. I wouldn't say he's old, but 20 years was 20 years. Paul Davis, former Michigan State big. He's around 6'9". He was a part of those good teams where they had – Shannon Brown, and they were getting to the Final Four. They came to the Irwin Center, 05. You remember that?
Yeah.
That you know, Sweet 16.
20 short years ago.
Yeah, 20 short years ago. Yeah, it's old. So Paul Davis, the other night, he's sitting not courtside, but he's like five rows back from courtside. He's on one. He's drinking twisted iced tea. He's on one. So much so, the ref had to stop the game, go over to Tom Izzo to let him know the distraction. Tom Izzo looks over at Paul Davis. You can read his lips. He says, "What the are you doing?" Paul Davis escorted out of the arena. Like lifetime Spartan Paul Davis, thrown out the game, had to come back the next day and have a press conference. I've never seen this before. Former player, not on the staff. He's just an alum, loves his Michigan State Spartans. Just an alum. He had a press conference because he's a Tom Izzo guy, played for Izzo, had a press conference apologizing to everybody, apologizing to the refs, apologizing to USC, apologizing for his behavior, ashamed of himself, the whole nine. I've never seen anything like it before. Former player, 20 years removed, cussing. Who knows what he said? Nobody knows what he said, but he was acting a complete fool when they put the camera on him. It was a bad time to put the camera on him because when they did that, he was gulping the twisted tea. So, yeah, he was a little intoxicated, just a little bit. I don't know exactly how much, but so much so. Bam, gave him the boot. He's out of there. Since Tom Izzo is his guy, I think he's good. I think the apology, I don't know how many games he'll be going to the rest of the year. If I was him, I would wait a little bit. But, yeah, man, Paul Davis embarrassed himself and Michigan State the other night. Hilarious.
Wow. Yeah, the press conference, that's like the Lions fan. What is it with these knucklehead fans in Michigan?
Well, at least that fan was a fan. He shouldn't know any better. Paul Davis knows better. Paul Davis, you played at Michigan State. Like, you can't embarrass the program, bro. And you're coming back to hassle the refs to where you get booted? Like, there's one thing to hassle the ref, but to say something to offend the ref that much, to stop the game, nationally televised game, to get you thrown out of there. And Paul Davis, he was a big, he's a center. He's 6'9", 6'10", at least.
Big fella. So,
yeah, he's intimidating. And you know he's gained some LBs since his playing days. So, yeah, this ain't a good look. Ain't a good look.
That's not a good look.
It's all right, Paul. I forgive him. But, you know, I forgive Paul.
Put down the twisted tea and enjoy the game.
Yeah. Which I never had before. Is it good?
Yeah, I'm not. I think it's all right. You know?
Hey, before we.
My go to.
All right, before we get the open gym guys on, because I don't see Matt in the weight room yet. Look at Paul Davis. This is when Tom Izzo was saying, "What the F are you doing?" This is when he said it. And Paul Davis was like, "My bad, coach," with that twisted smile that he has. Look at the crowd.
Yeah, look at the guy. Look at the guy looking up at him.
The black lady right here is the funniest one. She's my favorite. Her face is like, now you know you wrong, fool. You know you wrong. But, yeah, those things happen.
Oh, man. That's a riot. All right, let's open up the gym.
Open up the gym.
Bring in Patrick and Matt. What's up, fellas?
What's going on, guys?
You know.
Just getting more and more fun news, right?
Oh, yeah. You know, more guys in the portal, but some visitors on the way. So we'll see what this next 24 hours brings.
Yeah. Yeah. We're waiting for that. You know, maybe the back 9 days, maybe it's going to be, you know, back half of the portal is really going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. We got till next Friday. That's how I look at it.
Plenty of time. Always be closing.
Oh, there you go.
See you guys. Have a good night.
Thank you guys.